in a democratic political system. As I look through history, what we know is that the focus on corruption, the concerns about corruption and money, are not new at all. They go back at least to an attempt in 1837 to prohibit the parties from shaking down government employees and giving contributions. As historian John Lawrence noted, Abraham Lincoln, who I believe was a Republican, warned that concentrated capital had become, quote, enthroned in the political system, and he worried about an era of, quote, corruption in high places until the republic is destroyed. I have to believe that if Abraham Lincoln were around today, he would be reinforced in that particular judgment. As we went through the corruption in the Grant administration that led to the Pendleton Act in 1883, the corruption involving outsized corporate influence on President Theodore Roosevelt that led to the Tillman Act in 1907, the Teapot Dome scandal that resulted in the Federal Corrupt Practices Act of 1925, the abuse of federal employees that led in 1938 to the passage of the Hatch Act, the Taft-Hartley Act in 1947, the Watergate scandal spurring the Federal Election Campaign Act of 1974, and that was revised, of course, by Buckley, and on through the abuses of soft money and in other ways that brought about the Federal Election Campaign Reform or the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act of 2002. It was scandals that led to corruption that led to change. All of that focus was turned on its head by Citizens United, brought as a very narrow as-applied decision, and then broadened out to basically take away almost all of those protections, at least going back to 1907, and then to McCutcheon. Now, I want to make a couple of broad points there, and particularly about McCutcheon. Despite some of the other focal points, what has alarmed me the most about the McCutcheon decision was Justice Roberts basically now taking corruption out of the equation and the appearance of corruption entirely out of the equation and defining corruption in the narrowest way as a quid pro quo that would only be applicable in a case like Abscam or its more popularized American Hustle variety where you have videotape and an exchange of money in return for a favor. That is so far away from the real world. And in particular, now with McCutcheon, where officials, elected officials, can solicit large contributions, something that we tried to restrain deeply in the McCain-Feingold bill, it takes me back to an era that I remember well, where we had president's clubs and speaker's clubs and leader's clubs around here with a menu of access. Give $10,000 and you'd get to meet with all the committee chairs. Give $25,000, you could have a one-on-one with the speaker. This is a trade of access for money, and it leads down a dangerous path, and a path that becomes even more dangerous when we don't have disclosure of who's involved with a lot of these contributions. And frankly, the notion that McCutcheon is going to enhance disclosure was, I think, blown out of the water by Justice Breyer's very compelling dissent.